Pastor Dave, I need a prayer. I have a chronic addiction to gay loli hentai and it's starting to become an issue. Can you give me words of advice?
Loli hentai. What in the world is loli hentai? I'll look it up. All right, let's check out the images. What in the world? What in the Lord's name? Ban his account. No, ban his account. You're out of this church.
Welcome to the Shitposter.club Autistic Elf Girl Podcast, your number one home for Autistic Elf Girl news, Autistic Elf Girl memes, and a four-hour-long Autistic Elf Girl analysis videos. I am your host, Dad. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Did you ride this?
Yes.
I can tell. You're such a fucking orc.
Because I'm not stuttering like an awkward spurg. Anyway. Mew, introduce yourself.
I did. I don't need to introduce myself. I see something. wait a minute, it's my time.
All right. And Full Metal.
Still here.
So we're going to explore the winter 2024 season.
Yes, winter 2024.
And usual, Mew has exhaustively prepared a tier list of his favorite shows. There's a couple that me and Full Metal have seen that aren't on his list. We'll get to those. But Mew, take it away.
Well, first I'll have to say that, at some point I was trying to do a blog for, I will write like mini reviews of every show that I've, mini reviews, previews, etc. of every show from the season that just started. I had a small WordPress blog for that. It didn't last long. But
before this podcast started?
Yeah, way before. It's a few years ago. I just nuked the old darn thing because fucking WordPress got broken into because it's WordPress. It's crap. Don't use this. But anyways, I digress.
I used WordPress for my personal blog like 12 years ago.
Yeah, but now there's bots everywhere. There's bots that specifically try to find your WordPress and break into it, and they know all the fucking vulnerabilities. So if you use any plugin that is not updated in months, there's going to be a vulnerability. Even the themes are not safe from this. So it's a complete shit show. But anyway,
that reminds me, you need to get your website up and running.
Yeah. I need to write on it soon, but that's another subject. So
I can write unique articles for it if you want.
Anyways, where I was going with this before I fucking forget is that in my blog I try to give a theme to the season. So sometime I would really, really try to see hard into some kind of like common theme between shows. Like, the season Megane Boo was on. Megane means glasses. There were also a character in Kyokai no Kanata that was crazy about glasses and his sister, and then there was something else about glasses, so I called it the glasses season. However,
I guess the theme of this season is performing sexual acts to transform into magical killing machines.
We have three
shows that do that.
It's femdom. It's the femdom season.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One just happens to be a lesbian femdom.
So yeah,
three shows on that subject, and none of them are Shinju no Nectar. Anyway, let's talk about these shows.
All right, so we'll start with the shows that are continuing from last season. So, all right, so Soso no Frieren, which is anime of the season there, of course. So I think everyone knows about this by now.
Yeah, the dank memes are all over the internet.
Yeah, so it's really good. It's by Madhouse. Madhouse did it again. There's nothing more that needs to be said. So, all right, so next there's Thin Duality Noir, which is continuing from last season. I am actually very late for this, but from what I've seen, it was pretty good. I'm not sure what tier I'll put it in because I'm late. This is also a tie-in for a video game, but yeah. This was good. I need to continue, but we'll see if I ever do. So next, there's Ragna Crimson. I am very fucking late. I actually haven't watched a single episode since I talked about it last. So I might just drop it. Is anyone still watching this?
No.
Fucking no.
If you really hate dragons, this one has a lot of dragon genocide, but it seems like just a pretty crappy clone of Attack on Titan so far.
Yeah, maybe. And it's like overly edgy, but I don't know.
Conceptually it's good, it's just the execution is very boring. It just gets old quick.
Yeah, I suppose. But anyways, let's move on to shows I've actually watched. So, Shangri-La Frontier, I've put it at great last, but at the moment, it could be like the arc that we're at the moment, it's easily anime of the season tier. The show has had a very low start, very slow start, and it took forever for our main character to get actually a team going, but it finally happens. Interesting thing has been happening, and right now it's everywhere you wanted it to be. It is right now at peak fucking hype, and this is fantastic.
Yeah, this is like, they're trying to be like the new SAO, I feel, but with less cringy shit.
Yeah, no shit drama, no nothing. And right now, I mean, the main character just started playing like this fucking godly MMO. Not even like a fucking month ago. And he's already going against unique monsters that apparently nobody else in the game has been able to beat. This is kind of unbelievable, but whatever. But right now, they're fighting one, and it's fucking thrilling. It's amazing. It went quickly, exactly where you wanted it to be.
Yeah, I was surprised at how high quality this was, considering how generic the premise is. But this is some good shit. Some great animation, some great JRPG autism.
Yeah, it's good shit.
What it lacks for originality, I think it makes up for in execution.
Exactly. So if you like the concept of SAO, but you don't like the shit drama of SAO, this is it. But be warned, it's a bit of a slow start.
All right, next one. Kusuriya no Hitori Goto, also known as The Apothecary Diaries.
Yeah, I fucking love this one, man. I was not expecting. I passed this up initially, but then I fucking watched it. God damn, this is really entertaining.
This is fantastic. Could easily be anime of the season tier, but I'm just a little late. I'm like at episode 8 or something.
Shit, if it wasn't for Frieren, like this, that could be anime of the season.
Yeah, another one that was surprisingly good. I need to get caught up to. I think I'm at episode 10.
I think I'm caught up to it.
It's going to be 24 episodes, so I should binge up to episode 16 now.
It feels pretty rare nowadays that you see an anime get like a full 24-episode season. Usually it's 12. You know, you get like part one and then part two like 6 months later.
Yeah, I've been complaining about that a lot. I kind of hate the split parts. It kind of cuts the hype too a lot of the time.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, you're into a show, but then 6 months go by and a lot of stuff can happen in 6 months. You know, shit happens in real life. And you kind of drop it because you just don't have time for it. Then you forget half the shit that happened.
More like 3 months from when it ends to when it begins again. But yeah, it's still a big gap. But anyways, this is fantastic. I put it from great to anime of the season tier. So yeah.
Yeah, we've praised this in previous episodes, but Apothecary Diaries is really excellent. Everyone should watch it.
Yeah. It's a really simple concept for a story, but it's just very well done.
All right, so next, this is another show that I'm actually actively catching up to. This is Nanatsu no Taizai Moku Shiroku no Yonkichi, The Four Nights of the Apocalypse, I believe is the subtitle. I'm very late to this because only French shubbers picked this up at some point. They dropped it very quickly, and some other English shubber picked this up. This is not available officially, I think. So yeah, this is actually a sequel to Nanatsu no Taizai. It's set something like 17 years after the series end. The series, which also include like the movie, and you have an entirely new cast. So yeah, Nanatsu no Taizai went through some disaster. There were a few season words of exposition that was not, it was a bit mosh, and it wasn't well animated too. And then like the last season, my fucking god, the plot went like all over the fucking place. However, I say this is promising because the mangaka can actually write a good setting, and he can write likable characters, and this is it. The likable characters are back. Well, they're back. I mean, it's an entirely new cast, and I think you can watch this without having seen the first series. But yeah,
I was gonna ask. I'm not familiar with this series. I've only caught glimpses of it, but it seems like some pretty enjoyable shonen, the kind of stuff I would enjoy. I just need to take time to get into it.
It's fun. It's some fun bullshit battle shonen. It's set in fantasy Britannica, and there's a bit of Archer thing going on, you know, the legend of Archer.
Oh, King Arthur. Yeah.
Yes, King Archer. I don't know.
Character named Percival.
Yeah, the main Lancelot. Character is Percival. So.
Yeah, Japanese people seem to have a strange fascination with medieval European mythology, especially King Arthur and Robin Hood and shit.
All mythology. They've just been like looking at mythology from all over the world and has been creating fucking bangers nonstop with them. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
For one, it's royalty free, so they can just do whatever they want with it. Also, exactly. You've seen how autistic like the Japanese are about their mythology. So they're like, oh, cool, new things.
So yeah, so I've been enjoying this lately. I've been catching up, and it's been good shit. So that's one not to miss. Also, the last of the continuing shows is Undead Unlocked, and that's, of course, anime of the season there. So yeah, that show has nearly, it has started, and it has nearly almost never stopped. This is crazy.
Oh yeah, it's like they're high on methamphetamines with how crazy fast Undead Unluck, how fast the pace is, how fast they introduce new characters and new storylines. New cool shit is happening all the time. It's great. And
animated by David fucking Production. This is like the whole fucking package.
Yeah, they made the JoJo series, so they make interesting use of color. And also, like, the text sound effects on the screen. I've noticed that a few times in Undead Unluck.
All right, so let's move up. So anything else continuing that you guys have been watching that I haven't?
Don't think so.
No.
All right, so let's move on to a tier that I have still not rated. So, Solo Leveling, I think we're at how many episodes now? 4?
Yeah, I think there's 4 out now.
Yeah, I have seen all of the episodes out, and I will still leave it in the I don't know tier, because considering how hype it's been, I'm still not sure where to put it yet. I'd say at episode 4, this is where it really, really started. And because this is like a big hype, I'm not sure how to rate it yet. I'm just waiting to see where it's going. I
wonder how much it's going to live up to the manhwa, because a lot of what carries the series is like how well done the art is, because there's a lot of really cool fucking scenes. But like in terms of the action, it starts picking up around 4, but it doesn't really take off until like he gets his powers, like his real powers. Like right now he's just leveling up. It's kind of a slow burn until he gets his I guess I'll just say it, his necromancy powers. That's when he becomes like really fucking cool.
I see. So I've been right, just leave it there. Because
it's a little bit of a slow burn. It's not one of those like, oh, you could watch 3 episodes and get the gist of what this is, whether you'll like it or not. It's one of those like you kind of gotta like give it time to build up.
Yeah, and there are so many of these Korean comics about RPG mechanics taking the form of dungeons in the real world. But this one is the best.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I read a few of them. There's a lot of really generic ones. This one's actually really fun. You just gotta give it time.
It's the top tier one. Yeah, every time I went to a fucking manga site, this was like in the top ranking.
Oh yeah, it's a real fun read. I mean, hell, I don't fucking read manga, and I read it.
Nah. But yeah, so far, from what I've seen, at least from episode 4, is that the budget is definitively there.
Oh yeah, it's got some budget, which is nice. It has to. Because if this got like a mediocre animation, it would just be like so disappointing.
But it got the animation it deserves, I suppose. The big question is, are they actually planning to animate it for the long run? Or is this getting one season, that's it?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see it. I mean, if it does really well, I imagine they'll probably do more seasons.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, because this is a really good series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching more.
All right, so next is the to drop there. So, all right, so I think my first drop of the season so far is Kekkon Ubiwa Monogatari. And I mostly dropped this because Jones warned me about it.
Warned you? I dropped it because the first episode sucked.
And it was okay, I guess. But I mean, it's ecchi, so I will have kept watching if Jones didn't tell me about it. But basically, so... Do we even bother with the synopsis for this one? So, some dude as a kid encounter some sort of like princess from another kingdom, teleporting into his world, and then they become friends or something. And then later they're adults. Well, they're finishing high school or something. And the princess has to go back to her world. The hero, of course, just ends up sneakily following her. So it turns out that she is being married, and the reason why she's being married mostly is for the ring power to work. And for the ring power to work, they have to do something with the other partner, kiss and etc. So it's kind of like one of those ecchi that you power up with sexual powers. However, Jones told me that this is the kind of a main character that absolutely won't do anything. So basically, he has to fuck
gay.
Yeah, this is stupid. So basically, it becomes increasingly stupid, and that everyone is in danger because the main character just won't fucking fuck, and they keep finding more and more excuses for the main character not to fuck. And I was like, fuck, that sounds lame. So Jones told me this should be an okay first season, but anything more and it's just stupid.
Yeah, even the first season has not been good so far. It's a generic story and cheap, crappy animation. I guess the grandpa character is entertaining. That's about it.
How many eps did you see?
Three.
Oh, you actually saw three. I only saw one.
I only watched the first one. That was enough for me to be like, no.
Well, the grandpa's voice actor, he was the narrator from the original Fist of the North Star.
Oh, nice.
So that's about the only entertaining thing in this show. It doesn't even work as propaganda to increase the country's birth rate. It just sucks.
Then why even make an ecchi if you're not going to fucking lean into it?
Yeah, this is lame. So yeah, don't watch this. Jones has warned us all, so don't watch this.
Yeah, it's not completely horrendous. It's just generic and pointless. Not worth your time.
I don't understand the Japanese thing with them constantly making these like cherry boys that will never fucking touch a woman, even though they throw themselves at her. Like, well, I don't get what the point is.
I understand somewhat the point of these characters, but I mean making a character to this extreme, this is just like why. Why? But anyways, let's just move on to the good tier. So just one drop tier. Let's move on to the good tier. So first is Oraka na Tenshi wa Akuma to Odoru.
Also known as The Foolish Angel Dances with the Devil.
Can you read the synopsis, Dad?
Masatora Akutsu, a demon on a recruitment mission in a human high school, is drafting allies for hell against the heavenly angels. But once seated beside the captivating Lily Amane, he's in for a devilishly hilarious celestial surprise. I have not seen this.
This was a small synopsis. But
I don't know why we bother to read the synopsis for half these. They're fucking terrible, and they tell you nothing about the show.
It depends on the show, but all right, so I'll just go ahead. It turns out that Lily Amane is obviously an angel, and then she ends up putting a magical collar on him, and she has to do her bidding.
Slavery.
Here's the femdom we promised.
Yeah, there's the femdom. And my God,
what femdom this season?
Episode one does deliver, and the femdom. So there you go. But anyways, this is kind of a weird one because it's a comedy that does a lot of things actually. So the two main characters end up just haunting demons. And and at the same time, there's a romance between them that's actually growing. And at the same time, there's some sort of Kaguya-sama thing going on where they kind of try to flirt with each other, but like one-upping each other. But it's not the whole show either. So yeah, this is kind of hard to explain because it's a fucking comedy, but I've seen episode 4 just now and I'm kind of really getting into it. This is actually kind of funny. This is not bad at all.
I was going to ask how it compares to Gabriel Dropout, which is also about angels and demons put in wacky high school situations.
But... Gabriel Dropout, I'd classify it as slightly more of a slice of life than this is being right now.
Is this a romance? Kind of.
I don't know. Like I said, it does a lot of things. It does romance. It does a little bit of bowel, but at the same time, it's kind of like a crazy comedy. So during the bowel with the demon and episode 4, there was some actually pretty fucking nice animation for what little of the bowel we got. Man, I've been just thinking. I remember watching fucking crappy Sekai and the 2010s, and I was like, where are the for fucking bowel? Like you have a show that seems like will be action, either there's no action, and then we have these fucking shows lately that has like more action than these other shows ever had. So this is kind of fucking crazy, but anyways, it turns into some kind of like karaoke haiku contest or whatever the fuck was going on, where I don't know, just watch this. It's fucking weird. The humor is not bad at all, and it's pretty decent.
All right, I'll watch this and get back to you.
It's a comedy, so I always struggle actually explaining what's going on, but yeah.
All right, pressing forward, we've got Hime-sama Gomon no Jikan Desu.
All right, can you read the synopsis again, Dad?
Yeah, also known as Tis Time for Torture, Princess. As the war between the Imperial Army and the Hell Horde rages on, the princess, being armed with her mythical sword Excalibur, is captured and imprisoned. What kind of torture does she face at the hands of the chief demon interrogator? Fluffy, fresh-baked toast. Hot, steaming ramen. Oh, the humanity. Can the princess withstand these tormenting treats and keep her kingdom secret safe?
So, this is animated by Pine Jam. Pine Jam is the studio that has animated the Do It Yourself. And the animation looks a lot like Do It Yourself. You got like all these exaggerated faces and everything. This is actually great. So yeah, the anime so far, I have not seen the episode that just released today. I didn't have time. But so far, despite how repetitive the premise seems to be, this is actually not bad at all.
Yeah, this is very similar to Sleepy Princess and Demon Castle, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, but
I kind of got the same feeling.
And there you go. It's number one at the Any List recommendation. Every time. Yeah, this is pretty similar. I think that this is one of those that is gonna pull a Sleepy Princess, because you know Sleepy Princess at some point just starts doing whatever the fuck she wants. I think this is one where the premise is probably gonna evolve, but right now, despite how repetitive it seems to be, it's actually pretty entertaining. So let's see where it goes.
Yeah. I do enjoy the anime with the actual violence, torture, and horrible shit going on, but this is not that. This is a cute, wholesome, friendly kind of deal. It's very comforting. Like yeah, they put torture in scare quotes for a reason, because she never actually gets tortured by the character named Tortura Torture. It's just a series of wacky situations to get her to reveal information, but...
Which always ends up being completely useless.
Yes. But I'm enjoying it for what it is.
Yeah, it's some fun bullshit. I just wonder what will happen in the future. As said, I think the premise will evolve, and how good will it be when it evolves? Or if it ever evolves?
It would be cool if it evolved into something dark. She picked up her sword and beheaded the Demon King or something.
I don't think it's that kind of show, but the fuck
it would be so fucking cool.
But anyways, moving on to Dosankogol wa Namaramenkoi, also known as
Hokkaido Gals Are Super Adorable.
So you just know it's one of those anime where how much money are they getting from Hokkaido?
Yeah, right. Like, this just seemed like fucking tourism advertisement. Cause, and you know what? It kind of worked because I was watching this. I was like, man, it kind of would be nice to visit Hokkaido, wouldn't it?
I know, right? They just keep showing like how Hokkaido is, things to do in Hokkaido, unique food that you can only get in Hokkaido, and it's like, ooh, I love Hokkaido.
Come to Hokkaido. Our gals are absurdly beautiful Aryan goddesses with big racks.
So all right, can you read the synopsis, Dad?
All right. Snowflakes aren't the only thing dropping in Hokkaido. So are jaws, thanks to the super adorable gals who are turning the icy north into a hotbed of fashion and fun. Brace yourself.
Yeah, give a fuck this. Fuck
it.
It is terrible.
Yeah, here's my synopsis.
We read that same synopsis a few episodes ago. It was shit then.
Yeah, here's my synopsis. This is the latest in the series of high school loser gets teased by cute girls genre. But it happens multiple times, so it's also in the harem genre.
Don't say tease, because this is not tease and
yeah, this is not like Nagatoro. This is more just like this is closer to like My Dress Up Darling, where he's just kind of like a little bit of a dweeb.
But yeah, he's not that, like, that makes sense.
He's not like getting bullied per se.
Just lightly. They're just kind
of like, it's just, you know, the kind of way a friend would tease you.
Yeah, it's not femdom yet.
No, there's no femdom so far.
I haven't read the manga, I don't know what happens, but there's potential.
So yeah, I wasn't sure with episode 1, but then like episode 2 fucking melted me. Fucking god.
Yeah. I felt the same way. I was like, man, this isn't that interesting. And then I watched more. I was like, all right, you know what? I'm kind of into this. This is actually really nice.
You'll never play in an igloo with a cute Hokkaido gal. Why even live?
Why do you have to hurt me like that, bro?
So yeah, this is a cute romance show, and it will also have like Trigyaru in it, and this is actually pretty good. This is actually pretty nice so far. So let's see where it goes. Yeah, this is one of those that could be upgraded to great easily. So far, I've watched the latest episode. It's just been plain pleasant to watch.
There's a surprising amount of depth to each character. This isn't just edgy. I'm enjoying each character for their personalities. The purple hair girl is a lovable weirdo.
Oh yeah, there's in the latest episode, there's some really decent edgy too.
Yeah, notice the purple hair girl also sweats a lot, just like the chick from prison school.
She was gonna be your favorite because she's a big titty nerd.
Well, there are multiple big titty girls, so I have my choice of, you know, a big selection here. But yes, I'm enjoying this. I was expecting something really perverted, but it's not. This is cute and wholesome and lovable and probably propaganda from the state of Hokkaido, but...
Yeah, this is wholesome Geru with a bit of fan service, but nothing... Nothing extremely perverted.
Yeah, some people on the Fediverse were complaining that one ass shot was censored from the manga. And as a connoisseur of pervert cartoons, this outrage will not stand.
Yeah, but then we got the latest episode, which we got like an almost full body shot minus nipples. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm definitely I don't know what's going on. You have this in good tier. I would put it in great, but you have so much other stuff there.
Yeah, I think this is one I could actually upgrade from today's episode. This keeps being decent. It's just that I think I had too much things and great tier, so I had to you know, You know, I have to rebalance a bit.
Why not just tell it as it is? There's lots of great stuff this season.
Maybe.
I kind of agree that this is like good teetering on great. It really depends on how it's going to go.
But all right, let's keep going.
Anyways, also this season, there's iCarly season 2. I am not completely caught up yet, but it's iCarly. So I think this went from great to good because I feel like the story is just kind of wavering, but it's not awful either. So yeah.
I watched a little bit of the first season. It was good, but I got distracted by too much other shit. I should go back and watch it all because it was good.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that's like maybe a 4 out of 5. So it's like, it was entertaining. It didn't fully capture me. So I didn't really make enough time for it.
All right, so let's move on to Sengoku Yoko. I wrote this is maybe going to be a complete adaptation. I'm not sure, but this is three consecutive cores, which is extremely rare. The only show that did this and like the last 10 years was one of the JoJo's, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, this based on a popular manga?
I don't know. Apparently, whoever is giving the funding has been maybe likes it. I don't know.
No.
Can you read the synopsis?
The world is divided into two factions, humans and monsters called Katawara. Despite being a Katawara, Tama loves humans and vows to protect them from evil, even if it means fighting her own kind. Her brother Jinka, however, hates humans, despite mostly being one. The siblings are joined by a cowardly swordsman named Shinsuke, who wants to learn how to become strong. When the group uncovers a plot to experiment on humans and transform them into monsters, they vow to defeat whoever is behind it, even if it means battling an entire army of warriors.
Honestly, so,
the protagonist looks like Inuyasha to me.
Yeah, I bet. But honestly, I have no fucking idea what to think of it yet. It's in the good tier because it's not as if I hate it. But I feel like this is really too early to really say anything about it. Especially since this is going to be one for the long run. And also, it's only 100 chapters. There is a chance it might actually be a complete adaptation.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. But keep me posted.
Sure. Alright, so far, now we're at the great tier.
Wait, I got two things I would put into good tier that are not on your list.
Oh, excellent, so go ahead.
Alright, I don't know if Full Metal watched either of these. If he has, he can chime in.
Post them in the chat, please.
Okay, one second. So the first one is Yubisaki to Renren, known as A Sign of Affection.
I actually watched an episode of this.
Okay.
But I am not actively watching it, so yeah.
Yeah, I watched a few episodes. So this is a romance between a deaf girl who is a college student and a handsome man at her school who likes to learn languages. And they hit it off, and he decides to learn sign language so they can communicate.
I saw the first episode. It was cute, but I feel like I am not the target audience.
Yeah, he does give her head pats every episode with his gigantic yaoi hands. But
I have not seen this, so.
Yeah, this is a decent romance. It's believable that these two characters could come to love each other. The art style does look like the typical shoujo yaoi character design, but there's no gay shit in this. But everyone does have bright red noses and big red lips.
And yeah, and you're just not the audience for this. Even though it can be, you know, a decent watch, I guess.
Yeah. I guess she's going to college to prove herself, because she can take written tests, but she can't listen during the lectures. She has to have a friend write down notes for her. In a lot of countries, deaf people can go on disability. As a teenager, I had two internet friends who were completely deaf. Both, I talked to them on IRC. Both of them were into anime. One introduced me to Bastard.
Nice.
But the other was a girl. Yes, there were girls on the internet. They were just extremely rare. But we talk about video games and anime. I haven't talked to her in like 15 years. I wonder if she's watching this.
Hopefully.
Anyway, I've heard this has accurate Japanese sign language, just like Ranking of Kings did.
Oh.
Do they have their own? I didn't know they even had their own sign language. I thought there was only two versions of sign language. There was an American and European one.
As far as I'm aware, each language has their own sign language, which is kind of a shit show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why you would need to do that. It's you don't need to invent different versions. It's for deaf people.
The problem is the problem is that, as far as I'm aware, some sign that you will use differ from culture to culture. So maybe that's a bit the issue.
Yeah, and they were all created before the internet existed, so there's very little overlap between them. It's a huge freaking mess. If you want to communicate with deaf people from another country, just type in English.
Oof.
Oof, indeed.
And I wonder if Twitter shitlibs are going to throw a fit about a disabled character who doesn't have an actor with the same disability. Japan is not so psychotic, but...
Japan doesn't give a shit about that. But anyways, what's the other one?
The other one was Buchigiri. I'll read the synopsis. Arajin Tomobishi's reunion with his old pal Matakara Asamine takes an unexpected turn when they stumble into a brawl with the toughest guys in town. And just when you thought things couldn't get weirder, a colossal genie decides to drop in. Brace yourself for the ultimate showdown. It's the clash of the cool and the magical.
So how is it?
This is really good. Well,
really?
Yeah. Really? Well, inside a Japanese school that's as violent and crime-ridden as the average American school. There's fist fights every day. There's graffiti on the walls. All sorts of petty crime going on, but...
Does it take place in modern day or like in the 60s like most of these do?
Modern day.
Hmm.
So it starts this meek protagonist who gets his ass beat frequently because he's not violent like everyone else, but he stumbles across a genie who offers him a wish. But you'd think he might ask for power or money or just wish for safety. But no, he wishes to lose his virginity.
Based. He's got his fucking priorities straight. Like, look, I can take an ass whooping. I'm never going to get a girlfriend.
So the genie does what he can, and he sets him up with one of his classmates, who is a cute, violent girl who's the younger sister of the toughest gang member in town. But that's the best he can do. It's up to him to further the romance from there.
Okay.
This is fun. You've seen all sorts of delinquent anime before. This is another one, but it throws in the magical elements, and it's pretty good. I'm enjoying this. I'm going to keep watching it.
Should I be watching this?
Yeah, you'll probably like it.
I think I'll pick it up.
Yeah, it has cute girls, lots of big strapping muscle guys beating the shit out of each other, and a genie. So I wonder if it was inspired by Disney's Aladdin.
All right.
Yes,
so,
that was my other good ranking.
So Full Metal, anything in the good ranking before we move on?
No, I have something in great ranking.
Okay, all right. So let's move into great, starting with Metallic Rouge.
All right, should I read the shitty synopsis for us to mock?
Yes, please.
Metallic Rouge takes place in a world,
a world where humans and androids coexist, the story follows Rouge, an android girl, who is on a mission on Mars, and her partner Naomi. The mission is to murder 9 artificial humans who are hostile to the government.
That one is good enough, and that's because it's not from Crunchyroll. I wonder what the fuck happened. Did the idiot at fucking Funimation, that Colin Wright synopsis worth a shit, got a job at CR? Because it sure sounds like it. But anyways. So yeah, this is a Bones original. And the Bones original,
I think it looks good.
Oh, so far it looks good. It just be very cautious. I am being cautious right now because Bones, all their original shows kind of sucks. So yeah, let's see where it goes. I'm putting this in great so far because it definitively has the production value, but and it's kind of a bit of a road trip anime on top of like. You gotta kill X amount of people. So let's see where it goes. The episode 3 wasn't very exciting. I watched it today, but it was kind of more of an exposition kind of episode. So I don't know. At least episode 1 was very exciting. So yeah, if you're not sure, what's episode 1 at the very least?
This has the potential to be great. I'm gonna keep watching.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep watching, and then I'm gonna complain about it if Bones ended up being Bones as usual.
Complain that it's not as good as Lycoris Recoil.
Probably. All right. So next, there's a Classroom of the Elite Season 3, also known as Yokoso Jitsu Ryoku Shijo Shugi no Kyoshitsu-e. So you know it's a light novel. So yeah, there's more of that. I'm actually not caught up, but like it's season 3, so there's nothing to explain.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't even started this one yet. But yeah, it's season 3 of the show. Like you either like this show or you don't. There's not really much to say about it.
Yeah. So Mashal season 2. More Mashal.
Yeah, it's more Mashal. Did you like season 1? You'll like season 2.
Yeah, I can't say anything about it without like spoiling immediately what happens in season 2.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm not caught up, but I did enjoy what I watched of Mashal.
We have a tournament arc. Good. We have a tournament arc, so there you go.
At the Shonen another series, you need a tournament arc or a cook-off or something.
It's not like a regular tournament arc. They're also doing other things. They're doing different tests.
Yeah, but so it's kind of like
well, a bunch of 1v1s or anything.
It's an exam / tournament arc. It's kind of what happened. And I actually fucking hate the new opening. Holy fuck, I hate this opening.
You do? I like it. I think it's... I kind of like it.
I don't know. I don't like these kind of songs, but whatever. Mashal
is goofy. I think it fits the theme of the show.
Yeah, I guess. But I just don't like it. But, all right. Mashal is good shit so far. So I'm definitively watching this the minute it drops. So, all right. So, next, Ao no Exorcist. Shimane Illuminati N. So this is another fucking subtitle, so I'm just gonna say it. But I didn't pay attention to the fucking subtitle. This is season 3, by the way. And then when the new villains were revealed, it's the Illuminati. I was like,
it's the fucking Illuminati.
Yes, for real. The Illuminati is the villain.
That's kind of funny, actually.
These damn Illuminati in charge of all of our enemies. They can't get away with it.
Yeah, so there's that. This is too early to really tell if season 3 is good or is going to be a disaster because it's setting up an arc and like big things have just been happening. So yeah. But otherwise, the thing to complain about is that the art has changed.
Is it a different studio?
Well, like I said last time, this is the third studio it's been on. Oh. And the art has changed. The art has changed, but not like significantly. The art has kind of changed. You can tell with some characters. Some other characters you cannot tell. The two main brothers, Rin and Yukio, actually looks a bit more mature now. This is kind of weird, but this is not exactly negative. However, the biggest massacre is Shimi, main girl. She looks like a generic waifu now. And, this annoys me. I'm gonna piss and moan about this every fucking episode I watch. But otherwise, this is not like a big, massive, show-killing art change like you've probably seen in the past, like Terraformers and High School DxD. But yeah, I think the budget went down, but the show looks as it should when there's actually a big action going on. So there's that. I'm glad to have it.
Blue Exorcist had been on my list of stuff to watch for years.
You probably should.
I know.
But yeah, I checked as to why it didn't get, like, why it takes so long to have season. This is actually a monthly manga. However, as it stands right now, it could go on for like two or three more seasons. There's been a lot of chapters since like season two, so yeah. But anyways, so let's move on to the next anime, Akuyaku Reijo Level 99. There's apparently three villainous anime this season, and this is the one I chose. And then John say, oh shit, there's an anime about this, and I know that I chose right.
All right, tell us about it.
Can you read the synopsis, Dad?
All right. This college kid wants nothing more than a quiet life. So when she's reborn as Yumi Ella, the hidden villainess of an otome RPG, she's not exactly thrilled. Still yearning for peace, she abandons her evil duties to live a more discreet life. Until her gamer side kicks in and she accidentally reaches level 99. Now everyone suspects that she's the infamous demon lord. What future awaits her?
Yeah, basically, the school she's in has some kind of like Harry Potter thing going on, but instead of telling you which fucking dorm you're in, it tells you your level. So most people start at like level 1 or something, and then suddenly she's level 99. She immediately gets into trouble as people don't believe her. And what does this do different from other shows? What's great is that Yumilia Dorkness, that people just like to call her Dorkness, she's a deadpan. Yeah, she's a cute dork. She's a deadpan protagonist.
Is she like a Chunibyo or something?
One of the tags is Chunibyo, but it's only 20%, according to AnnieList.
So yeah, so far, she's cute. She's just a character that wanted nothing to do with the main plot. She just wanted to just do her own thing, but the people won't let her be. And she's just completely deadpan, and it's kind of great. It's not bad at all. I really enjoy this.
So how does it compare to a most heretical Last Boss Queen? Because that's the only one of these villainous stories I actually completed.
It's very fucking different. It's okay. Very different. This is definitively more of a comedy.
Is it about how she gets dragged into the main plot line even though she doesn't care about it?
So far it seems to be more or less that.
Okay, I might pick this up.
Yeah, so it's been interesting. It's hard to talk about, so maybe if you guys watch it, we could talk about it next week. I don't know.
All right, convince me.
Yeah.
It's good, just fucking watch it. Jones said it was great, so there we go.
Well, he's not on this podcast, so we can talk shit about him all we like.
But anyways.
All right. Let's continue the theme of femdom. Motto say hey, no slave.
Yep, also known as...
Chained soldier.
Yeah, oh. this is the official English title because they didn't want to put like slave in the title or some shit, but anyways.
Yeah.
American pussies.
Can you read the synopsis of that?
Yuki Wakura watches as dueling supernatural forces ravage the earth. Motto are portals to another dimension, avenues from which dangerous monsters escape. Peaches are resources given to women, granting them abilities. Chief of the 7th Unity of the Anti-Demon Corps, Gyoka Uzen, arrives to save Yuki from a monster. Surprisingly, Yuki holds the power to increase the Peach's effectiveness. But to save the world, Yuki must be willing to become Kyoka's servant, both on the battlefield and at home.
So servant. This is High Dive, so the synopsis is a bit less shit, but it missed some stuff. Peaches, as far as I'm aware, are just kind of... They say it's a resource.
It's just a generic term. Yeah, it's a generic term for like the powers that they have, and I don't think they're giving it, are they? It's like something they're
No, that's why I found this weird. This is like it was written like months ago before it started, and it's never been corrected.
Yeah, it seems like whoever was in charge of writing the description just like heard secondhand what it was about, and then was like, oh yeah, sure, I got this.
Yes, so basically we have the main girl actually has the power to make something her slave, which she used to use on like the monsters. But then we have our main character who is suddenly teleported to Motto, as it sometimes happen, because that's why the anti-demon corpse is there, because people just kind of sometimes get randomly teleported over there, and they also don't want the demon, the monsters from coming out of the part of some random portal that can also appear. So her power is to make someone her slave, and then she has to give them like
a reward.
Yeah, a reward after.
Like so... stomping on his dick until he comes.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, I assume how the power works is because she says, like, normally when she enslaves a monster, she just has to give it, like, food or something. So I believe it's whatever they desire the most.
Yeah, something.
And for this
like
guy,
that.
It's getting stepped on because he has mommy issues, I guess.
So, yeah, this is very femdom-ish. It's been great so far. However, the episode one was very fucking rough. I think I put this as good initially because episode one seemed like almost unfinished. There was a lot of action, but there was also a lot of bad CG, and there were like really bad zooming shot into every bad CG and background. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. I think episode one was just unfinished because it looked unfinished.
It did feel that way.
The other episodes doesn't feel that way, but the show still feels like it's trying to aim a budget too high that they don't have, but it's not egregious.
Yeah, the action looks decent, but yeah, sometimes the characters have this stiff animation where they just kind of slideshow around and get into slow fist fights with the monsters. It could be better, but
seems like the studio who's doing it hasn't really done much of note. They've been
Seven Arc.
Yeah, maybe they spend all their money on the right to use Street Fighter 2.
They seem to produce a lot of generic stuff.
I've almost never watched.
Period.
I've almost never watched anything they've made.
They did Blue Period in 2021, which was a one I liked quite a bit, but there's no like action in that. It's just people walking around and talking.
They did Mushi Bugyo, which I really, really loved. But anyways, so yeah, so yeah, this is actually by the Akame ga Kill author, and you can just tell that
you can tell.
You can tell that the author noticed how popular SDF was, and then
he
made her the main character, because the main character is kind of has like a similar look to SDF, including the kind of like general clothes that she has.
Yeah, I would say the
general, like had the SDF, military rank.
Yeah. I think the main difference though is SDF, like she actually had a crush on the main character of Akame ga Kill.
Yeah. Where,
so far there isn't really too much romance.
Yeah,
like,
but
she'll step on his balls, but she's not like
yeah, that there's into it. Yeah, but something also annoys me about it, because it seems maybe he just didn't want to do like a manga about a villain or something, but all of why SDF was so fucking hot was that she was a villain who will just, you know, she could just kill an entire army and not like, yeah, I know, right?
And the massive titties in a military uniform.
She's a fucking psycho bitch. That's why she's hot.
Yeah, so the main girl is not a psycho bitch, so it's not exactly the same as SDF, but whatever.
Yeah, this is some good anime. It has so many anime tropes, like girls in short skirts fighting monsters, pulling weapons out of nowhere, a shat upon weakling protagonist who is nevertheless the center of attention, the author's poorly disguised fetish.
Oh yeah, well, at one point one of the girls, her power is to like she can change her body size, like grow like gigantic or shrink herself, so you can imagine how that would play.
She just fucking handles the protagonist.
Yeah, if you have a giant ass fetish, there you go. I don't know why people do, but
yeah,
it's there.
Yeah, this is a good anime, but it's probably going to get forgotten because it's in the same season as Gushing.
Yeah. Gushing really stole the show with its fucking Coomer mentality.
The absolute worst season it could be on. But yeah, otherwise,
right,
this has some problems. But if you're into what it's selling, my fucking God. But if you're not into what it's selling... Yeah.
If you're like disturbed by Fendom, you're not gonna want this at all.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of it, but it's still an enjoyable series. It has some pretty good action, and I really like the big titty blonde girl.
Yeah, she's great. You do. All right, so now moving on to the anime of the season there, and we'll go also.
I had one thing.
Oh. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I picked up a show that you didn't watch, Majo to Yaju, The Witch
and the
Beast.
I've heard it's good.
Oh, I saw this too.
Oh, okay, you didn't mention it though.
Yeah, my mistake.
Actually, I was genuinely shocked at how much I enjoyed this, because this isn't normally the kind of stuff that I'm like into. I just sort of picked it up on a whim because the art style looked kind of cool. So I was like, I'll give it an episode, and it kind of sold me immediately. So, do you want to read the synopsis?
All right. As the resident narrator, I will read every synopsis. It all started with the 17 Origins, whose powers were passed down to individuals who still exist around the world today. A man carrying a coffin and a girl with the eyes of a beast appear in a town. The girl was once cursed by a witch and now searches for her in order to undo the curse. Is the witch who appears before them the quarry they've been searching for? And how can the curse be undone? This quest for revenge against an evil witch begins rolling when the beast captures the witch. This magnificent and intense dark fantasy begins now.
So is this Nux's shit?
Yeah, it's kind of shit, but
yeah, it's kind of shit. But okay, so like the gist of the show is that there's this girl who got cursed by a witch, and you have to find the witch to undo the curse. So she's on a literal witch hunt, and she's accompanied by a mage, and they work for this like magical police force, more or less. They're like, they enforce all of like the arcane in this world. And so they're going from country to country solving mysteries involving magic while she's desperately trying to find this witch that cursed her.
Yeah, and she's like, she's the equivalent of Goblin Slayer, except she really wants to kill witches. That's her whole personality, mm-hmm. and it's great.
Yeah. And I really dig the art style and just the aesthetic in general. Like, it's very, like, at least initially, I don't know how it's going to turn out later, like, the locations they visit, but, like, where they're at now, it's very, like, Victorian London, but, like, also kind of modern at the same time.
Yeah, it feels like so this could like be this 1960s really setting. Or something.
Yeah, but it'll have, like, modern stuff. Yeah, so it's, like, they'll have modern cars and shit. So it's, like, what kind of like technology do they have in this world? Because you would imagine with magic, like they'd have a whole different like range of technology, whatever in whatever time they're in.
Yeah, they go to one town where a witch has set herself up as protector of the city, and every time a monster invades, she's there to kill it. But our protagonist is not fooled; she wants total witch death right now.
Yeah.
I checked and it's actually a seinen. I was gonna say that it kind of gives me vibes of those like 2000 seinen shows.
Yeah, it gets really gruesome. It does, and bloody kinda, at points.
Yeah, it's pretty violent, and yeah, I wonder how they're gonna go about like with the witches, because so far it's like it's the general theme so far is like all witches are pretty much evil.
Yeah, sometimes your racism is totally justified.
Yeah.
Witches ain't shit.
So shall I also watch this?
Yeah, this is good. I think you'll enjoy it. It's probably better than Buchigiri.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely check it out. At least give it a couple episodes. I am enjoying it.
All right, so now... Yeah.
Not yet. There's one I forgot to talk about. I'm sorry.
It's just stop forgetting.
I should make a list like you do. This is my fault. I talked about this before. It's the wrong way to use healing magic, which I would put in okay tier.
So okay, basically, I was going to check this out, but then I ended up not, because I was like, eh, this probably isn't that good.
Don't forget, there's the good tier, and then there's the /drop tier. So... wish tier.
It's like between the two. Like this okay. Also has some femdom if that's your fetish.
Darn.
Did Japan just like come together at the is there some sort of conference where they all like meet and be like, ah yes, this year is going to be the year of the femdom boys?
Yeah. I don't know, man. So this one's okay, but it's not as funny as Konosuba, and it's not as well written as Mushoku Tensei. It's kind of like Shield Hero, where it starts off promising, but it turns into a generic fantasy series before long, and it doesn't make good use of the isekai elements. I bitched about this on the Fediverse a few weeks ago, let me pull it up. So I'm caught up with a manga, I'm still reading it even though it's not that great. I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but this is about a typical high school loser who gets isekai'd into a fantasy world, except he's sent there with his two friends who are smarter and athletic and more attractive than he is, just better in every way. So they get to be the heroes of the story, while our protagonist gets lesser magic powers and a lesser role in the story. And with his healing powers, he gets severe physical training by this dommy mommy who beats the shit out of him and makes him heal himself to make him stronger.
Okay, but how's the femdom?
There's a lot in early episodes, but it's It'll be dropped in later chapters. It becomes standard fantasy where he's just a regular strong guy who fights monsters.
Calm down.
Yeah. There is a big titty vampire girl who shows up later, but probably not going to appear in the first 13 episodes. This had potential, but it's just mediocre overall. I say skip it.
All right, then. So, anything else anyone forgot?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Damn it.
I watched Ishura. I would put this in great tier. I took some notes.
All right, link it.
Yeah, forgive me for being disorganized, but... So, you know that trope of a character who is about to be killed by an overwhelming opponent, and then a hero comes out of nowhere and instantly defeats that opponent?
Yeah.
This anime has that every episode, but with a different example. Okay. So there's each episode has a different hero appearing out of nowhere to save innocent people. So the first episode is this Arabic fantasy city. It has a school of wizards in it, and there's these two high school lesbian girls who are making friends with each other when suddenly they get attacked by killer robots. And I mean killer. I mean, they plow into one of these girls, rip her arms and legs off like a bug. She just gets fucking butchered. But then a samurai kid comes out of nowhere and slaughters all the robots, including their 1,000-foot-tall boss. Like, millions of people probably died, but he's like this carefree teenage shonen hero who's just happy to show up and save the day after there's lots of gruesome murders. And the second episode is about another one of the heroes is this intelligent wyvern who likes to collect magic items. He's this incredible badass as well, but, you know, talking wyverns, aren't they just dragons? Anyway, And the third episode is about a different wyvern hero. He leads a group of wyverns who work together with humans to protect their city. And one of his underlings eats a human, and he says, "We're having none of that." And he just beats the shit out of his underling, just rips guts out. You see intestines trailing. It's fucking nasty and awesome. In fact, the intro of the episode gives you a warning. Not just about the violence, but it might have things that are culturally insensitive because of the Arabic city where people wear Arabic clothing. You hear what sounds like a Muslim call to prayer, stuff like that. But I'm eager to see where this is going. There's a new kick-ass hero every episode.
So this is one of those that's really too early to really tell.
Yeah, I'd say good with the potential to be great.
Sure. So, anything else?
You're going to talk about P-Chan.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the next one because we're going to do anime of the season, but reverse order.
Okay, let's finally move on to the anime of the season.
All right, so anime of the season. We'll start with Sasaki Topi-chan. Can you read the synopsis?
Sasaki is a middle-aged office worker living in Japan. Feeling drained by the vapid corporate world, he heads to the pet shop in search of a new companion. There he finds an adorable bird named Peeps and takes him home. But Sasaki quickly learns that Peeps isn't your average bird. He's a powerful mage from another world. Together, they embark on a magical adventure filled with swords and sorcery.
So they missed, like, all of the actual synopsis. So Sasaki ends up being like a merchant in the other world, and he keeps coming back and forth. But between one of these back and forth, he ends up he also learned the magic in the process. And when with his magic, he ends up saving a girl in Japan. And it just ends up that this girl is actually belongs in a secret Japanese organization by the government to actually make a registry and control psychic, they call them in this world. So usually people that are born with a superpower, and then Sasaki also ends up joining that organization. So he has to balance his life in the real world with that organization and life in the fantasy sounding world where he's at a merchant. The first episode was a fucking nuts. It's a double episode, and by God, there was actually a reason to have a double episode, because there was a lot of information in like two episodes.
Yeah, you've got the whole fantasy world to deal with and the psychic shit going on in the main world.
This is like three different shows put into one.
Yeah, there's quite a lot going on. But so I like that it goes back and forth between the two worlds. He's not trapped in the fantasy world, but he takes advantage of the ability to travel between them and his knowledge of magic by taking technology from modern-day Earth, like just pen and paper, Swiss Army knives, walkie-talkies. He sells them in the fantasy world for enormous amounts of gold coins. While he's doing this, there's the Japanese branch of the government that manages psychic powers. They've discovered him and force him into a new job, which he ends up hating, but he's not quite willing to rebel against because he could get killed.
And you get actually good fight scenes in this. This is actually the...
Yeah,
this
they is feel the, really the, dangerous.
This is the whole package. Like the show has everything.
Okay, yeah. I haven't seen this one, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's great.
Best, it's really interesting.
It has the best P-chan since Ranma 1/2.
Give like the first double episode I watch, and you will end up watching more.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
And as a 39-year-old protagonist, which is pretty rare for anime. He's not a sprightly...
he's just like me, for real.
Yeah, he's not a sprightly young go-getter. He's in middle age when all this shit is thrust upon him, but he's making the best of it, working within these two worlds.
Yeah, and he's pretty likable, I think.
Yeah, I like it when they actually do protagonists that aren't just like 15-year-olds. Like, I get that a lot of these shows are marketed towards teenagers, but some of them feels like they don't really need to be. Like, whenever you have the rare college setting, I'm like, oh my god, finally, something a little bit more relatable.
So, this is definitely anime of the season tier. It's quite good.
Really good. I don't think we've had, like, some kind of, like, show mixing like this in a while.
Yeah, it does feel like a mixture of several different series, but it juggles them well. And like Mew said, the action is kind of terrifying. Because once he's forced to work for the psychic company, he gets sent to a bowling alley to fight some unknown opponents. He's wearing riot gear. He has no idea what he's doing. He's watching other psychic cops getting murdered by an unseen opponent. He's scared shitless. Because he just wanted to sell tools and get rich, not fight people.
Yeah, and that part not only was well animated, but it seems like it had like real weight to it. It wasn't just like a floating bullshit.
Yeah, if a psychic uses a flying bowling pin to hit someone, it's probably gonna crush their skull.
Yeah, it would.
So yeah, that's why it's animated season tier.
Yeah.
So next,
excellent stuff.
Next, there's Boku no Koko no Yabaietsu second season, also known as The Dangers in My Heart season 2. On my on Annulus, it's currently the number one highest rated 2024, and for good fucking reason.
Yeah. So I fucking love this show.
I know that I've already called like another romance series that we've been watching seasons ago one of the best romance show that I've seen. But man, this is climbing up very fucking quickly. So I've said that. So it's not repetitive. It's not like bullshit that just stalls forever. Like in the season we've had, there's actually been kind of progress, like satisfying enough. I'd say that so far, every single episode in season one and season two haven't been fluffy filler bullshit. All the episodes were important. And now that we're in season two, it's intensifying and it's even better than ever. This is amazing.
Yeah. I really, like, okay. So I like that they actually make the character like this sort of like shy dork, but they don't just make him like a massive pussy like they do with a lot of their characters.
Yeah.
In anime.
No, he's a Chunibyo.
You can actually
kind
of relate to him. Like he's a fucking dork, but you can relate to him on some level.
Yeah, but he's a Chunibyo for serial killers, but he's not actually evil, so he doesn't have the heart to actually consider killing anyone.
He says a lot of edgelordy shit, but like nobody really takes that seriously.
Yeah, just a typical shit poster.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like your typical teenager who's a bit chuny in the head, you know, a bit edgelordy. That's about it.
But that
makes him somewhat relatable.
I once read a series of American crime novels about a teenager who actually does become dangerously close to being a serial killer. I'll put that in the show notes. People can look that up later. So I need to get caught up with this. I didn't finish the first season, but what I did watch was very good.
You sure this is better than ever. This is getting like really amazing, and I think it really deserves its place in anime of the season tier. Anything else, Sifful Metal, before we move on?
No, not really. It's just really good, man. This might be my personal anime of the season.
Sure.
I need to get caught up.
So, all right. So, next, Dungeon Meshi, also known as Delicious in Dungeon, a show by Trigger. So, can you read the synopsis of that?
When young adventurer Laos and his company are attacked and soundly thrashed by a dragon deep in a dungeon, the party loses all its money and provisions, and a member. They're eager to go back and save her, but there is just one problem. If they set out with no food or coin to speak of, they're sure to starve on the way. But Laos comes up with a brilliant idea. Let's eat the monsters. Slimes, basilisks, and even dragons. None are safe from the appetites of these dungeon-crawling gourmands.
This is amazing. I wasn't sure in the beginning, but the minute the dwarf appears and then they go into like monster cooking autism, the show becomes amazing.
Yeah, I 100% agree, dude.
I love the recipes for the fictional monsters. It goes into so much detail.
Oh, you know there's going to be fucking YouTube channels that are going to try and replicate this shit too. That's going to be nice.
All right, I'm going to kill a chicken and a snake, mix their meat together.
The dwarf Senshi is such an important character, but still everyone got like their nice personality, and it's just not cooking. There's of course it's by Trigger, so it looks nice. It animates nice. Yeah. And
the animation reminds me of Little Witch Academia.
Well, I mean, it's Trigger.
Yeah.
And
I hate Netflix for a number of reasons, but I have to admit, they keep bringing us good animes.
Yeah, yeah.
I say that because like Triggered has multiple styles. Like their last big one was Cyberpunk, and that looks nothing like this. This is very much Little Witch Academia. That's all I'm saying.
This is really the whole package. The whole cooking thing really makes the dungeon more alive. They really goes into detail about the monster. They actually hunt the monster, and then they actually eat the monster. So it makes the dungeon really alive, especially like in the last episode we've had. Fucking using Golem as that living garden.
That was brilliant.
That is fucking brilliant. And this is fantastic. Just watch it.
Yeah, I've been seeing fucking memes about the elf girl too for like a long time. Like the manga has been pretty popular, so I was excited to actually watch this show, and it didn't disappoint.
And it's going to be 24 episodes, so you can look forward to a lot more cooking spurgery, the elf girl freaking out, as well as the standard D&D tropes. This just has everything I love. It's freaking excellent.
I'm glad it's too cursed because then it can actually give a chance to one other show to actually get the top three anime of the season.
Yeah, but it's definitely good enough to qualify as anime of the season.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that if it will end this season, it will probably be Frieren, Undead Unlocked, and Dungeon Meshi.
Yeah, the manga went on for quite a while. I don't know if 24 episodes will be enough.
The manga is over, so I'm pretty sure that they might come back with another season or two and finish it, hopefully.
97 chapters, and I know how it ends, but I'm looking forward to the journey along the way.
Alright, so next, our last show of the season, it's Mao Shoujo ni Akagarete, also known as Gushing Sailor Over Magical Goon. Girl.
Sailor Poon.
To read the synopsis, Dad.
Oh, for fuck's sake. First, I gotta mention, the title is brilliant.
The English title is really good.
Gushing can mean to excitedly talk about something, or it can mean to spray liquids.
Yeah, they knew what I'm they aware. Were doing.
Hiragi Utena is a major fangirl of the magical girls protecting her city, so when she has the chance to become one herself, she leaps at the chance to join their Technicolor ranks. But when she transforms, she learns she isn't fated to become a daring do-gooder, but rather a villain on the side of evil. At first, she tries to quit her new gig as the leader of the local baddies, but she quickly realizes she enjoys it and is a total natural at tormenting the magical girls she loves so much. With both a bang and a whimper, Hiragi's journey as a magical girl tormenting sadist has begun.
So basically,
actually a good synopsis.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. We have this complete failure, this complete dork that can barely even talk to her classmate. She becomes this magical girl, this lewd magical girl villainess, and she just ends up, because it's clear that this is happening, she ends up being consumed by her loss.
Yeah,
imagine if the girl from Watemote was suddenly turned into a villain for a magical girl while also coming to her sexual awakening.
And yeah, and Utena, basically, all her powers are kind of femdom-ish. They just ends up sexually harassing and humiliating the magical girls.
It's a little more than harassment. It's straight up assault, my guy. She is molesting every encounter.
This is corruption and sexual torture played for laughs.
Yeah,
and I did much. Laugh.
I did this laugh. This was
really
funny.
Fucking good.
I know some of our listeners are probably sick of us talking about pervert cartoons, but we're going to talk about pervert cartoons.
I mean, it's anime.
This is extremely filthy, propaganda to get viewers to develop new fetishes. It's like the Japanese version of
shit. This is gooning.
It's like the Japanese version of Totally Spies, but much filthier.
So I've been complaining exactly lately that we haven't had like
a good ecchi in a hot minute.
Yeah, a good godly ecchi since like Ishizuku Reviewers. I mean, we've had that also.
Does redo of rape count?
Yeah, redo of feeler. Yeah. But I wouldn't call it like exactly godly. We've had something else like also recently that's just I can't remember.
The one with the slaves in the labyrinth. I can't remember the full name of
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes.
That one.
Yeah, this one was pretty
that,
good.
That
but
was just straight up porn, dude.
For straight up porn. But man, this also, this is it. This is what I've been wanting.
Yeah, this is definitely an interesting one. God damn.
Oh, fuck.
At one point, the little fucking like magical sidekick dude, I don't remember what his fucking name is. He just shows up and Cube. He's just like, yeah, and he's just like, he just calls her out. He's like, every time I show up, you're looking at porn. Like, why are you spying on me?
It's
fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I like that the heroes and villains are obviously being roped into their job by these manipulative little mascot animal creatures. It's just a job for them. They need each other for the financial and sexual reasons. It's like kayfabe in pro wrestling, or like the Arches and Venture Brothers. You know, characters aren't actually good and evil. They just put on a mask and go fight each other for the benefit of everyone watching.
Yeah, I mean, they like say she's a villainess and that she's like working for evil, but she doesn't really do anything that evil other than molesting the girls. She doesn't try to kill
them. That's pretty evil, kind of.
It's pretty bad, but it's not like... It's... I wouldn't really put it on the same level of her. She's not trying to murder them. Even they acknowledge, like, she always leaves right before she gets to, like, anything too dangerous.
Yeah, quickly became an expert at blue balling.
I like that the one girl is actually kind of into it.
Yeah, well, one of the magical girl has...
Yeah. Turns out she likes being a sub.
They're all going to get corrupted before this is over. I know it.
So this is a new godly ecchi. So there we go. And with this, we have... I'm not watching anything else. I'm watching a bit less this season, and thank God for that, because I just needed a little bit of a break.
Well, if I can get my shit together, I can give you a list of stuff to watch. No. There's been some other good stuff this season that both of you need to get hooked on. I have really high hopes for Ishura.
All right, we've been going for a while, so let's just wrap this up.
Yeah, we could talk about Kiki's Delivery Service.
No.
All right, yeah, we can do that anytime. What of all the stuff I said I need to catch up on, should I catch up on? Dangers in My Heart, maybe?
Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
Please do watch some more stuff from this season. Next episode, we can maybe talk about game. We can actually maybe talk more about this season. So let's not do the year review yet. That's for the next episode after.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah, we can take a few weeks off if we need to. This is not our day job, so we don't need to come up with something all the time.
No, that should be good enough. I think in 2 weeks we can like do an episode. We can do a small episode. That's fine. We don't need to do like 2-3 hours every fucking time. 30 minutes is fine. And then after 2 weeks after that episode, we'll have the year-end review episode later than usual. But it's still gonna be the winter season. So whatever. It's just that they give me like the month to prepare.
Yeah. So for the website, do you want to just make a complete list of everything you've watched, maybe link to the episode where we talked about it?
Basically, my website, I just want to make the thing I talk about WordPress, but like the year-end review, I want to write a little something about everything I've seen. This is what I've wanted to do about the website. So every year I will do this.
Okay. You can work on that. I'll watch Dangers in My Heart. What's Full Metal gonna do? Read the whole manga of Battle Angel Alita?
No.
I don't think so.
It's only 9 volumes.
Really?
Yeah, the original. Well, the author cut it short because he thought he got sick suddenly and he honestly thought he was going to die.
Yeah, but I mean there's new iteration of it under a new name, right?
Yeah, there's a sequel series and it's currently in the middle of a prequel series. So
yeah,
it started in 1990 and it's still going.
Yeah, and Full Metal can watch Sasaki. So this, and you guys can like watch whatever else was interesting, maybe whatever. I might pick up The Witch Show and Bushigi. I might not bother with the other one. I think 2 more is just enough.
Yeah, that's plenty.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up the Villainous one. That one seemed kind of interesting, and. Yeah, I'll pick up Sasaki. I might pick up Buchigiri. Maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to, what is it, Rakugo's Bad Girls from a few seasons ago.
Yeah, I kind of figured. I'll give it a couple episodes. I'll try to give it a couple episodes and see if I'm into it.
All right, let's wrap this shit up. Come to the Fediverse, yada yada. It's full of cool dudes.
See you later.
Good night.
Fuck off.